Welcome
to Attack of the 50 Foot Podcast.
Welcome to Attack of the 50 Foot Podcast, where we talk about movies and we talk about hidden gems. And today we're talking about something that on the poster is called Slithus, but the movie title is The Spawn of Slithus, because Slithus is not actually the creature, it creates it. Hi, welcome to the show. My name's Cameron. Thanks for listening to us and not NPR. We're better.
And also much more shrill. I'm Robert.
I'm Allie. I'm not going to screech, because that'll be worse coming from me.
Oh, you can do a little bit of ASMR, but for whiskey drinkers, right? Like,
that, ladies and gentlemen, is a round ice cube clinking around inside a glass.
Just pretend that you are in an office and it's 9 o'clock in the morning in the 80s.
Thinking of business ideas and also getting hammered.
And Greg has not brought in the cocaine yet.
All right, let's talk about Slithus.
All right, we're going to talk about Slithus. Slith is awesome. It's great. Anyway, this was a movie that came out in 1978. It was directed by Stephen Traxler. You've probably never heard of him. What else has he done? He's directed this. And he also, you said one feature, but he did one, another, he did another feature.
What? Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, he did a TV movie.
Yes, but it's a feature. It's still a feature. You just, why are you shitting on people to do TV movies?
Come on, we all know that TV movies are...
on TV.
Yeah, right?
I don't agree with Robert's stance on this. Can we call you Bo? I was going to ask you that and I forgot.
Well, it's not the worst nickname we've come up with for me.
Okay. Well, then I've been approved. So, Bo, ladies and gentlemen, please only refer to him
as
that.
Didn't you call me Cannoli at some point?
That's not... What? That's not inventive.
No, I didn't do that.
Somebody did it.
Rigatoni?
Maybe. That's what I'm thinking of.
That might have been what it was.
Robertoli!
That's what it was.
Robertoli.
Oh, and this, and the sauce
on your lockers.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to bring us back on track here, folks. this director also did a movie called Sam Churchill's Search for a Homeless Man.
Just any homeless man?
I don't know.
The first one.
Were they hard to find in the 90s? They're not now. Anyway, cinematographer was Robert Caramico. He did a lot, actually. He did like 60 movies as a cinematographer. He directed 3 episodes of the TV series The New Lassie, and he also directed a porno that is a feature. It's a movie that is...
That's it's a TV
it's
movie.
It's basically a mockumentary, and it's rated X, and it's all about sex. It's like a sex cult, and I want to watch it. It sounds amazing.
Huh.
Anyway, he did a lot of porn. He literally did everything from G-rated kids films to X-rated adult films, and then films that couldn't even get an X rating that were just left unrated. So he has done everything, and I'm sure he's filmed people doing everything. So the music is Steve Zuckerman, who originally I was trying to look through and I couldn't find anything. Then I realized he's the composer for the original DuckTales series, which I think is wonderful. He did 100 episodes of the original DuckTales series.
He has an obsession with the oboe.
He does. He also did a Deep Space Nine video game.
He did a what now?
A Deep Space Nine video game.
Star Trek Deep Space Nine video game?
Yes, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, also known as accidentally ripped off Babylon 5.
That is slightly true. Excuse me, guys. I'm going to have to pause this recording, and I'm going to go play a Star Trek video game.
It is from, like, the... When is it? I think it was from, like, the 90s, like a PC game. There's no way it's good. There's no way it's good.
Oh, yeah. There are a bunch of from that era, and it's not even an actual game. It's just sort of like, click around on the ship and talk to people.
And we'll tell you a story, and it ends in about 10 minutes.
Yep.
Wait, wasn't that just Deep Space Nine?
Don't you dare.
Oh, man.
Don't you dare.
Deep Space 5. Anyway, or 9. My bad. God, Babylon Space...
So the budget was around $100,000. Which is very low. It was about 400 and something in today's
436
money.
In today's?
Really? Yeah.
And this movie was shot in 14 days.
Yeah, that's fast.
With 14...
No, it was shot in 12 days.
Oh.
12 days, 15 hours a day. Yeah.
So that if they look tired,
awful.
That's why.
Yeah, they do look tired in this movie. Specifically, Jeff comes off as tired. That's the wife. Jeff comes off as tired. specifically in the movie.
Yeah, but she doesn't have to do much anyway.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. She just seems tired of everyone's shit. all right. That includes day and night shooting, by the way. So they got overworked on this film.
Yeah, they did.
And I hope they got paid well, but with a budget of $100,000, I'm going to go ahead and guess that they did not get paid well, and most of them were not normal actors.
You know, like a third of that went to just the suit.
Oh, yeah, and the boat scenes, because it's expensive to charter a boat for that. Yep. So, anyway, we've got the characters. We've got Wayne. He's a journalism teacher, but he wants to be more. So he hunts down the monster because this monster's going and sucking faces. So
and abdomens.
And abdomens.
Specifically faces and abdomens.
Yes. then we've got Chris, a boat captain, and he's here to help hunt the creature for glory. And he is an interesting character. He is very much kind of just a play on the captain from Jaws. It's really what he is. This movie is also almost beat for beat Jaws. The only difference is they didn't have the money to show the whole society like on a beach. So instead we see a more contained story in individual rooms with less characters.
And the ending actually didn't take 500 years.
That is also a good place. Yes. Then we have Dr. John. Beau wrote a dirt doctor.
yeah, that's his...
He's a biologist, but actually he's a biology teacher. He's not even a biologist. Oh,
I was wondering how they knew each other, how all of these people know each other.
He's a biology teacher on campus.
Let me re-describe
this
movie.
Also, isn't that exactly what a dirt doctor is? A biologist?
We're not trying to offend biologists.
There's lots of microorganisms in dirt.
That's true.
There are, but that doesn't make you a dirt doctor. There's microorganisms in pizza, but if you are a chef, you don't become a dirt doctor.
I don't think you understand how much biology involves dirt.
Yeah, I know. I worded that correctly. I want to re-tagline this movie because I feel like the real point of the movie is that it's two teachers out to make a better life for themselves by hunting down a monster. That's really what this is. Also, it is the closest thing to a real live-action Scooby-Doo that I've ever seen in my life. It is literally missing Shaggy and the dog. The dirt doctor is Velma. The journalist is Fred.
Yep.
And Jeff is just Daphne. Yeah, we're just missing Shaggy and the dog.
Yeah, that's like Shaggy is the vagrant who gets scared. And then the dog is the first dog in the movie.
Ah!
Yeah.
No! The two vagrants are Shaggy and Scooby.
There we go. That's much better.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's accurate.
Yeah, the one that runs away and hides in the person's house is Scooby.
Yeah.
And the one that's still living in the boat on the beach is Shaggy.
Yep. Anyway, we also have Jeff. As we mentioned, Jeff is Wayne's wife.
I don't understand this quote you have here.
Have you not seen 22 Jeff. Jump Street?
Oh, yeah, I did.
The very beginning of that movie when he's trying to, like, hide his...
Yes, when he's trying to do the accent.
My name is Jeff!
Oh, that's what that
is. Yeah, so that's in here. And then, of course, we have the monster, which is not Slithus. We have the Frankenstein conundrum here, where it is not Slithus. It is the spawn of Slithus.
We'll get into it.
It is Slithus' monster. That is where we are. Anyway, we got a synopsis.
So, a mysterious creature begins attacking dogs and people in the canal area of L.A.
Venice.
I'm assuming that's a real thing.
Venice, California.
Venice, California. Is that not L.A.? I thought Venice Beach was a part of
Robert L.A. Robert Beau is from the East Coast. So, for anyone who's not, it's a little bit of a weird dichotomy that you got going here.
I'm from the newest
because we are from the West Coast. So, we are from the side where you can see clearly, because there's not as much smoke. But there's still smoke.
Well, I'm from the side that's not on fire every 6 months.
Yeah. It's I'm going to agree on with smoke. That.
It's just on smoke every day.
I also lived in Reno for so long that it also sucked there, too.
Also, if New York was on fire every 6 months, that'd be a bigger problem. That'd be a huge problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, this is Venice Beach.
Come on. Come on,
which is why there's canals.
Which is why there's canals, thank you. So, police are baffled by these murderous feedings and call them a ritualistic sacrifice on the evidence of fucking nothing. It's up to Wayne, the journalism teacher, and his band of intrepid heroes to research, hunt, and stop the monster after researching the strange origins of the creature.
This leads to a grand finale where the heroes, the normal people, battle the spawn of Slithus and kill him.
The answer is no, they do not.
Or do they?
How do you know?
What?
Ba-ba!
How do you know?
Because I saw the movie. They do something very dumb. I'm assuming we're going to talk about that final scene.
Yeah, it's there.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the synopsis. By the way, if you listened to the show before, we have cut that down tremendously because it was going a little long. So, you know, we're working on it. We're working on it. But also, we're going to talk about it because we're going to talk about the favorite scenes. But that's all you guys need to know. That's all you guys need to know. He's a journalist teacher who wants to be a journalist.
When he grows up.
And there's a slimy monster that makes this movie a combination of Jaws and Creature from the Black Lagoon, almost beat for beat. So, that's what you have. The only difference is the creature's not in love with a woman. Now we're going on to our favorite scenes. And Allie is starting us off.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Okay. So this is the first time we see the monster. Basically the first monster scene. It's pretty quick into the movie, actually. We start with one really long scene of a couple of boys slow motion playing Frisbee, and then they find some dead dogs in a canal.
That is the weirdest scene.
And there's like sounds. Like, I think you said they were like UFO sounds, like, yes, as they're throwing them.
They're making like a, it's slow motion as they're throwing the Frisbees, and it's like a wum 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 wum.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're trying to like build up to something terrifying, but...
But then they find like a couple of like mutilated dogs that really just look like they took some dogs and smeared red paint on their faces.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they did.
Those poor dogs.
And so that's like what, the only really, like the only real thing before this scene. So then this is where we first see the monster, right? And also note that we have seen that the monster has mutilated dogs. Okay, the monster comes up to this random house, and there's a dog outside barking at it, and it doesn't kill the dog.
Yep.
It barks actually through the whole scene, so like it never actually hurts the dog.
Well, I think what happened here, I think the whole idea is that it killed the dogs because that was something easy to grab, and then after it learns that it can get things on land, it's supposed to be moving more onto the land, and then it goes for bigger prey because the dog's not really anything.
So yeah, it just picks a random house and it literally like busts through the screen door.
Yes.
And you kind of get to see it a little bit. It's all shadowed out because it's dark, and then there's just this absurd interaction between a husband and wife in bed, and
it's like 8 minutes long.
Yeah, the wife is all like, go check on the dog, he could be hurt, and the husband is all like, hurt or not, he'll either get better or worse, and I don't care either way.
Wow.
And they just keep doing these stupid things where, I don't know who wrote the husband's script, but it was something else. He finally gets up after he hears another crash inside the house. Clearly, I don't know how they can't tell that the dog is outside barking and there's crashes coming from inside the house.
They do mention that, actually. They, to their credit, they do plant that because he says that if the dog has broken the screen again, we're getting rid of him. It's to the pound. Mm-hmm. Because what they say is, like a tornado, he's broken through the screen back and forth. So that's what they think is happening.
Mm. Oh. Regardless, he gets up. The husband gets up. And he starts putting on all his clothes. And there's this stupid interaction between them. As apparently somebody's broken into the house. And they start arguing about whether or not he should be fully dressed. Just go to the living room. And she's like, why are you getting dressed? I bought you a nice robe. And he says something like, it's been 42 years and you know when I get up, I have to put on all my clothes. I detest bathrobes and why you bought it is still a mystery to me.
I love it in horror movies when you just have an aside to just like, here's a couple that hates each other.
I don't know why we need all of this character development.
Because you know what? That's okay to give people in a slasher.
This whole movie has so much extra detail with the characters. It just cracks me up. I think it's so funny.
Yeah. It does give a lot of character and development.
We all know as an audience that the monster has just straight up broken into the screen door, into the house, before they started arguing. So they've had this full conversation. He's gotten up and put on all his clothes, and they've had a whole argument. And I want to know what the fuck the monster is doing. It's just like chilling in the house, just waiting for somebody to leave the bedroom. Like,
he was by a bookshelf, so I assume he was reading.
So this guy leaves the room and he makes like one comment like, oh, you're gonna have a mess to clean up in the morning, and the monster just takes him out.
Yep.
Immediately. He gets like one scream in and he's dead.
Can I say something?
What?
I actually really like this moment. It's not like it's the best acted scene in the world, but I like the way it's directed. This is a weird comment because I don't usually like bring this up, I guess, but usually in movies, they see something and they immediately scream and then they die. He actually has a moment of pause where like he turns and he's not quite sure what he sees. And then once he realizes what it is, then he screams, which I think is a really well done director's note, because you're not going to just scream immediately because you can't always tell what's going on, especially in a dark house.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting note. So
that's fair.
Yeah. Well, I had a similar note because then the wife goes out and she brings a pistol Which, I don't know why he didn't bring a pistol.
Because he had to get dressed. He didn't have time to grab a pistol.
Is that part of his outfit? No.
Yeah, it's the 70s. I assume a pistol is a part of everybody's outfit.
But, I mean, similar to what you just said, Cam, she shoots the thing before she starts screaming. So I guess you gotta give her some credit. Like, oh, fuck. Tries to kill it. Doesn't. Then screams.
Yeah.
And then it literally sucked the skin off of her skull.
Yep.
Talk about sucking faces.
But after all this murder happens, I do actually kind of love that final shot in the scene where they're bloody and dead on the ground, but there's like that swinging lamp, so it like comes in and out of
focus. It's also a very important note because it's something that we see later. So one of the things with Slithus is for some reason, they do not explain this from what I remember, things do not work that are electrical around it. This is consistent throughout the movie. It's intentional throughout the movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Things that are, they don't, I love the movie because it doesn't hold your hand. It doesn't tell you directly.
I've seen that twice now and I haven't noticed it.
It's it happens with the boat at the end.
It happens with the transmission in the car. It happens consistently.
Oh, yeah.
They do a great job.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. And also when they're scanning for it in the water later, the radar doesn't pick it up until it's at a distance. And then the radar picks it up because then the radar is working properly. They do a great, great job of that because the lamp turns on once it's gone because he had probably flicked on the switch, but it wasn't working. But the movie does not hold your hand.
Oh.
It's a great detail. It's a really good part, like note on the director's part again.
Yeah, I did not think about that. That's really interesting.
This movie is so strange because legitimately is like half hidden gem, but also half bad movie.
Like, yeah.
Some of this is pretty like stupid.
Terrible.
And cringe.
Oh, yeah.
But like also there's some like really good things in it.
Yeah.
I do love this movie.
I also just want to say that the man died in the most peaceful way. He is so peaceful in our screenshot here.
He's just got his arm up and then
he just looks like he's resting.
And then they just put a skeleton into that woman's clothes.
Yeah.
And like roll it around in some spaghetti sauce.
If you ever worked like a night shift, this is how it feels.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So
Robert's Science Corner.
It's time for the Science Corner, everybody. You know what that sound effect means.
It's different every
science
time.
Science Corner. But there's always a little bink.
As long as we have alcohol.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about where this monster came from and...
Scientifically.
Yes. Okay, so...
Bone.
So,
nigh the science guy.
Oh, you're so funny.
So the journalism teacher finds some mud at the crime scene and picks it up to have it tested by his friend Dr. Dirt, who's the biology professor. I don't know anybody's name.
John?
Yeah, Dr. John. Oh, yeah, it's just Dr. John. I don't know if that's his first name or his last name or if that's a mononym.
Anyway.
Continuing on, he says that, like, it's protoplasmic and contains some kind of exoskeleton. Okay, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. That's stuff. But he's like, it's organic, but also inorganic.
Right.
Which doesn't work.
So you've never eaten a McDonald's cheeseburger?
No, but it's like, you can't be halfway. It's either you are or you aren't.
You tell that to a McDonald's cheeseburger. I swear, you go ahead.
So, it's revealed also that the mud is radioactive. So, they said this, and they're like, 20 years ago. And I'm like, I don't think we had nuclear reactors 20 years ago, but fine. We only had
in the 50s?
Yeah, but like we got the H-bomb in like 45. Yeah, look up
the H-bomb is not a nuclear reactor.
Also, it wasn't the H-bomb. The H-bomb came later.
What kind of science corner is this?
Yeah, no, but like we only harnessed nuclear reactions in the
40s. Nuclear fission was developed in 1895.
Well, that was...
So, you're a little bit off.
Where is this?
From worldnuclear.org. 1895 to 1945 is when they were developing nuclear fission.
Developed, okay.
So the nuclear reactor was invented in 1942.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Science schooled. Ba-da-bow!
That's the sound that happens when I get science schooled.
That is from a government website. I would just like to add.
Oh, so we can't trust
it. No, we can't. They lie. Mm-hmm. Go listen to Conspiracy What, you'll find out. All right.
So apparently, the radioactivity made the silt of the river bottom and lake bottom super absorptive. Their word. I guess it's a real word, but I don't like saying absorptive.
Absorptive.
Yes. And this mud would just sort of like consume all living matter around it. And they named that mud Slithis. To which Jeff, the wife character, replies, "Why did they name it Slithis?" And Dr. Dirt goes, "I don't know, why'd your parents name you Jeff?" Like, wow, okay.
Oh, man.
Burn.
Also, this was just a little touch that I kind of liked. It's like, oh, yeah, instead of just, like, the various companies that are evil are like, oh, we're going to harness this monster for bad purposes. They're just like, oh, no, let's just try and create some artificial oil. That might actually be a good idea. And I liked that.
Science.
Yeah. They don't do anything with it, but they also, at this point, we find out, I don't know if we talk about this guy, but there was another scientist who was working on it, and they were like, oh yeah, he overdosed on radiation.
I love that phrase.
I know, because it seems
overdosed
like...
Overdosed on radiation.
Like, oh
was
no.
Was he like taking it on purpose?
Yeah, he took too much radiation. Oh my god, you guys, I had so much radiation last night.
It's like the equivalent in the 80s of like what businessmen did with cocaine, scientists did with radiation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just Jesus. Sort of like, I need to think up some new science ideas. Somebody give me some chopped up radiation to snort.
And that is the end of the Science Corner.
The boat murders.
Talk about the boat murders.
I love the boat murders.
Led into by one of the creepiest scenes.
Yeah, so they do shut down the water, right? Is that what they do? They like close off the canals, basically.
Yes, yeah, this was my point. I was like, wow, this is a surprisingly coherent plan for a movie
that
like this.
That actually happens a lot in this movie. Their plans make sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I don't spend a lot of time going, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like,
yeah.
This time I'm like, yeah.
Like, oh, wow, that's a logical leap to make. Because they're like, oh, this is an amphibious creature. It clearly started in the lake. So it must be getting up through the water locks in the canal.
Yep.
So if we just shut those off at low tide, there won't be any water for it to travel through.
Except for my question becomes, if you're so worried about it eating people, why not just let it out into the ocean where it can eat?
Yeah, they do say, they're like, yeah, it'll just start going somewhere else for food. It's like, yeah, but...
On boats.
Yes.
With like, people.
There's other things around besides just the ocean.
And it also doesn't seem to be able to swim. And I think that's an important point, because it seems like it walks. Because every time we see it coming out of the water, it's not swimming. This is not Creature from the Black Lagoon.
It steps
out of the water.
I mean, it's just
which
living
is
mud.
Really different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it
apparently
does seem to have like a very like... catfish mud skipper vibe.
Well, and it's very used to walking, because when it walks on land, it doesn't really struggle. So that means it probably walks underwater as well. So if you let it out into the ocean,
it's just going to
probably
walk
not
going
to be able to. Yeah, it's not going to be able to affect very much.
Yeah, whale's going to eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, there's just a little bit of turtle racing in this movie.
Yes.
Oh, just a little bit.
I mean, like 12 minutes.
That's what it feels like.
It's very long.
I'm mad about how fast that turtle is, the one with the umbrella, but he's stupid. He's directionally challenged.
Yes. He keeps spiraling.
He could have outraced a hare in a normal battle. Like, yes. The dude is going, he's like Flash. Like,
oh, and there are like 50 people at this event, like betting and being like, yeah!
Turtles!
Yeah. Turtle
it's
racing.
It's almost like they want to do something other than turtles, but they were like, we don't want to... condone those practices.
Oh,
at
yes.
One point,
we're going to do turtles
at one point,
instead
the
of,
commentator,
like, dogs or chickens.
Yeah, the commentator on this turtle race event, he says, this is what a $50 box turtle will get you, folks. And I was like, that's not a reason to buy a $50 turtle.
No.
To race it at a bar occasionally?
Yeah. That's $50 in the 70s? You could buy a house for that.
I don't think you could.
I don't know how inflation works,
okay? If someone wants to check that for us, because I'm not going to.
You put a little cocktail umbrella on it and you really got a good deal.
The house racing.
Or the...
All right, everybody, bring your houses down here, put them in this circle, and we'll see which one gets out of the circle first.
Anyway.
Right, let's talk about Disco Guy with the portrait.
So first of all, I want to bring up real quick before we bring up the portrait. Disco Guy is creepy as fuck. Okay, first of all, he's just Will Fort. But from the future past.
Forte?
Yeah, Forte, whatever you want to call him. Fort with an E. It's like the older version of him, but in the past, and he sounds just like him, which is a really weird thing. But he's driving this girl home, and he was like, "So I noticed you were drinking, so I figured you were of age." So he doesn't even know.
Yep.
He's bringing this girl home, and she's like, "Does it really matter?" And he's like, "Well, no."
Depending. Yes. I had started at that moment writing like, "Oh wow, this guy doesn't actually seem like he's that creepy or lecherous. This is pretty good for the." Oh nope, never mind. Deleting that comment.
Yeah. Like, you creepy fuck. Yeah. No, he's. But that's like the only that's the only time that we see that he's actually creepy, which I guess is fair.
This is
like,
very creepy.
He is very creepy. Time. I'm saying that's the only time where he says anything that's super.
But he like
creepy.
Asks for her consent and stuff, and I was a little bit like, wow, okay, 70s.
Yeah.
But I don't know, he doesn't necessarily, he's like, "Oh, we should go down below, like to the lower side of the boat." And she's like, "No, I really shouldn't." And he's like, "Ah, come on." And she's up.
Nah.
Or when they come in there and she's like, "Oh, I'm cold." And he like pulls her shawl off and tosses it on the couch.
Well, that's supposed to be sexy though. But
she's sitting there like this, like.
That is one thing that I want. So I'll go ahead and just skip to that real quick. I just want to bring that up. So when he's pouring this wine, like they're drinking, and then he does that thing where it's like he's like, "You look tense," and she's like, "Oh, I'm cold." And this is after they've been sucking each other's faces, different than Slithis. But she's like, "I'm cold," and he's like, "Oh," and then he's like, he like forces her to the side and starts rubbing her shoulders like manically, and then he just stops and starts sucking on her chin again.
Yep.
Like,
how does that make her uncold?
I know. Like, now you're warm. No. But anyway, I do want to say, before they enter this boat, he goes to pee, I guess.
Not on the boat.
Not on the boat.
Somewhere else.
Which is a weird decision. But she shows up on the boat, and then a one-off character scares the shit out of her and then disappears forever.
For no fucking reason.
He has no point in the movie.
It's just a jump scare.
He's just a guy who's there, and he's really awkward about it. And he's like, "I was watching TV on your boat. Why? You have... Why?"
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, like, this boat doesn't have a bathroom, but it has a TV?
In the 70s?
What? Yeah, in the 70s, a TV would be, like, giant. It'd be, like, 5 feet on all sides.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, there's a very, very important part here, which... Robert didn't notice originally. It's something
not.
That you, if you notice the, so there's a portrait of this man, and later Slithis is going to enter the boat, but there's a portrait of this man, and when he's pouring the wine, you see it very clearly.
It's a
and
real
then
picture.
Later, by the way, nice juxtaposition for the filmmakers, because this is a really good, I didn't notice it until after I took the screen grabs, but if you look at the two, there's like the man pouring the wine, and then later on the alternate version, after this red light's on, it's like Slithis is kind of bent over the same way with the girl, but it's like, it's horror. So it's kind of interesting the way they did that. But anyway, this time, the portrait of the man, which is not a picture, is now a drawing.
Yes.
It has switched to a drawing.
It's so obvious once you see it.
Yeah. It's like the most obvious thing in the world, but I both admire the film for trying to cover their ass, but also wonder what the fuck was going through their head.
The audacity of this.
I still just like...
I don't know who did the pen drawing, because it's clearly just like some guy's pen.
Yeah, it's just like a marker or something like that.
They really focused on that mustache.
But I kind of love it. Like, I'm looking at it, and I adore the idea of it. I really do. Like, I think it is charming in its own way. But also, why didn't you guys just not light the frame? If you hadn't lit the frame... we wouldn't have been able to see it.
Or just don't put it in there. Because the note that I made for this scene is like, the only decoration this guy seems to have on his boat is his own headshot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Surrounded
just
by candles.
Just don't put it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, surrounded by candles as if it's like a mourned loved one.
Yeah. Most likely, Ali and I are rewatching it, and we think that it probably got lit on fire, because there is a scene where they knock it over, and it looks like the little tablecloth probably gets lit on fire. So I think they accidentally burned the picture during one night of shooting, and then they needed it for a second night of shooting, so they had to...
Oh my god, I think the tablecloth is different.
Yeah. So the tablecloth is also slightly rearranged, if nothing else. So I have a feeling they burned it.
Well, they clearly did. There's
well, yeah, but
shot where you see it catch fire.
So they probably burned the photo too, but then they probably shot this guy out for the night before and didn't want to have to reuse him to get a photo, and didn't want to wait to have to go print a photo, because that also would have taken extra time back then.
70s.
So they just they went with what they could do. I don't know.
It's just some guy on set is like, "I'm a pretty good drawer."
They could have also just edited this so that the thing was already supposed to be knocked over, and they could have just shot it that way, and that would have made perfect sense, but whatever. Well, I just thought it was a fun note. Anyway, I know you have some stuff to say.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple of things about this is... I do like this monster. I think the suit looks pretty good most of the time. There are some shots where the lighting just doesn't help it. But occasionally his kills are just so, like... laughably gentle, like when the it's a repeat again of the scene we did first, where it's just sort of like this long thing with this couple that's like, hey, go outside. Oh, I'm gonna go outside. Oh, but I don't want to go outside. I don't want to stay here. Oh, but go outside. And he goes outside, and then the monster just sort of like gently wipes its paw across his face, and he falls down, blood spurting.
Yeah.
He does it again when he's on the ground and kind of just, like, smears blood across his chest.
Yes.
And it's like, that doesn't even look like blood.
Nope.
It just looks like red water.
Yes, exactly. I think maybe that's why there's a red light in there for this bit. It's like, oh, we need to make this look a little more like blood. Yeah, exactly. Why was he going out there, too?
That's what I don't understand.
She was upset that he didn't lock the door.
Well, but why did he go outside of the door?
I don't know. To see if the other guy was there?
I've never gone to lock my front door and walked outside.
Just check, walk around, look at the neighbor's doors closed.
And he also, if I remember correctly, he like walks out, looks around, and it's a small boat, like the back open area of that boat. He looks around and like doesn't seem to see the monster at first until it's, you know, on him, gently caressing his face.
Face blindness.
That would be whole monster blindness.
Maybe the whole monster is just a face to him. Anyway, Robert says the set is not a fucking boat, but I would like to add that it is in fact a yacht, so you are correct, and also it is a fucking yacht. It's because that's what they use it for in the movie.
Yeah, but the like I feel almost certain that the that this interior scene is just an apartment.
Could be. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been this flat. So if anything else, they might have used a boat on a trailer, which would make sense to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard to say.
But yeah. Yeah, and then...
What does seducation mean?
I meant to type seduction.
Is it,
did you mean sex?
Urban Dictionary says it's short for ultimate bias.
That's a word.
What? Yeah, that's actually what I meant. This scene is just so biased against... the
women.
Yes.
I don't know why that was so hard to figure out. Yeah.
What? No. This scene treats the woman with dignity and respect.
No, is this her wearing her shirt a sheer open. Shirt wasn't enough.
Yeah.
They have to put in a scene where you get a full boob just for a moment.
70s slasher films.
Wouldn't do that otherwise.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor girl.
And then I love it because the monster kills her after sucking on her chest, which is just what happens, and then recovers her.
Yes.
Yeah,
the monster is not a monster.
The
monster guys.
Is like...
He was like, oh my god, I'm not misogynistic. I'm just a murderer.
Yeah, look, I'm a cannibalistic murderer. Actually, he's not a cannibal because he's not a human, but like, right. I like eating people, but like, I also really want to respect them.
The parts that I didn't eat should be like, respectable.
Yes. I just want that as like a scene in Dracula. Just like, put on your clothes.
Put on your clothes.
Put them back on.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna turn around.
Every time I show up. This is, oh my god. You're making me a little uncomfortable.
Do you have a raincoat or something you can put on? I really feel a lot better. Maybe just like a turtleneck. I know that seems counterintuitive. I can get through the turtleneck as long as it's not too thick.
I would rather deal with that. I don't want to deal with being a creep. I'm immortal. That's gonna haunt me forever.
You know, I'm just gonna go find a man. I'm just gonna go find a man. That suck his blood instead.
Makes it way less weird.
Where have we gone?
We talked about Dracula going to suck a man. Anyway, so the monster kills everyone and leaves. The monster doesn't eat men very often. Can we talk about this?
Usually he's on the ladies.
He does.
He just kind of sucks out the stomach and leaves them there. But the women are always like the
right.
super mutilated.
That's the weird thing is he goes for the stomach on the men.
But it's the 70s horror.
But like the face of the women.
Hmm.
Why?
Because it's more horrific when you just destroy a woman's face.
Oh, you know what? I believe, yes.
I'm asking why the monster does it, though.
There's no motivation.
I'm asking for the movie's motivation. I know what the movie's motivation is.
I say this at the risk of knowing that you're going to clip this out, but maybe women just taste better? Maybe?
Oh, man. All right. Well. Anyway, I do want to say
about the boat fight.
Real quick, I do want to say also. I just want to ask everyone: does this scene imply that Rex was also eaten? I feel like that means he was eaten first, right? Like, was he killed?
You mean the guy from the beginning of the scene?
Oh, the guy who was watching the TV that was definitely on this boat?
Yeah, that we didn't see at all.
Yeah, we're on
the boat. And there's no room for it, but yeah. Uh-huh. That guy.
They didn't even have room for a couch in there.
Was there even electricity on the boat? That would have been able to run a TV?
Yeah, right?
No, he turns the light.
He turns light on, but like, a TV is more...
It's all like ambiance.
Listen, these were like tanks back then.
Yeah.
Like, these were not like the TVs we have now. Like, you needed... I mean, you needed to, like, get construction machines to put one in your home.
Yeah. They'd have, like, the big rabbit aerials.
Yeah, get four of your best, like, Roman soldier friends to pick these up and put them on a desk in your home that was certified up to, like, 2,000 pounds.
Oh, I only have three Roman centurion friends.
Damn it, I can't get the TV. Also, I just want to put that Robert put, oh, there's a boob, fuck. And I think that's a great line for a shirt.
I just literally put verbatim what I was typing, and I was like, oh, Jesus, this is so uncomfortable. This is so slow. God, I hope this is over soon. It's weirdly sexual. Oh, there's a boob. Fuck.
That's just America's rating system for film. It's just, oh, there's a boob. Fuck. They just are.
This movie has been rated OTABF.
Oh, there's a boob. Fuck.
All right. So anyway, moving from that boat,
the best
let's
ending.
Go to the last boat. The boat fight, known as Creation, also formerly known as the Jaws boat fight, because it's pretty simple.
I want to point out this is led up to with these four people. So it's Jeff, Wayne, the boat captain guy,
Chris.
And the scientist.
Chris and Dr. Dirt.
Dr. Dirt, okay. Yeah. Dr. John or Dirt. The four of them all are, like, talking about this plan to catch the monster. But it, like, keeps cutting to different scenes.
Yes!
And they go to, like, four or five different places, but, like, still continuing this conversation. And I always love when movies do this. Because it's, like, you're only having one conversation that might take, like, 30 minutes. Like, to plan a whole, like, monster capture.
Sit at a table.
But they're walking to completely different locations. So I imagine they're, like, yeah, we're gonna, like, set up a trap, and we're all gonna meet there. And they're, like, okay, hold on. Everyone, don't talk. And then they all walk all the way down to the beach.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, so from there we're gonna... And then they're like, okay, stop.
I want to do
And then
that.
They walk down to, like, the monument down the road over there. And they're like, okay, continuing the conversation. But what I was leaning into with this is that this plan that they figure out on four or five different locations actually is pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
You know, it
yeah.
actually makes sense. It's not like, why the fuck are you doing that? What they're like, I guess since they closed off the canals, and even though he's told the police at this point, which I'm surprised none of us have talked about that police scene, even though he's told the police at this point that he did close off the canals, they never reopened them. So the monster is in the marina still, and they're gonna lure him out with some chum on the boat and then try and push him towards the shore so they can capture him.
Which,
yep. You know, whatever, sure.
Yeah.
That's fine. That makes sense. You've locked him in, you're gonna bait him. And then you're going to capture him.
Yep.
And you've brought plenty of people, a whole boat, some crew, and a car.
They have a good plan.
So they actually have more than four people, because there's, like, what, two or three guys on the boat with them?
Oh, yeah.
There's actually, like, a boat crew. They all die.
I think they're both of their last names are Expendable.
Ah, yes, yeah. Yes. John Expendable 1 and Bob Expendable 2. Yeah, so as Cam put it, he could have just walked into the ocean. So there are still flaws with this.
Yeah, he could have just walked around the canal, but he can walk on land. He would go towards the biggest food source. So even though I do love the explanation of this is why he's killing humans, the reality of the situation is we see a wide shot overhead at the very beginning of the film of where the canals are and where the ocean is. They
yeah.
are less than a mile from each
it's
other.
It's like literally on Venice.
He could have just walked up and been like, lots of fish, and gone that way and disappeared forever. But whatever, it's a horror movie. They didn't do that. Suspension of disbelief, and this time I'll give it to them. I do want to say that once he comes out this time, transmission on the car doesn't work, and you're like, oh my god, it's that horror movie thing. Like, my cell phone doesn't work. But again, as we mentioned, he does mess up electronics.
Yep.
So we do know that happens. However, he has possibly the best way to get into a car that I've ever seen, which is slap the door, slap the door, slap the door, slap the door until it finally comes off, and then don't get in that door, go slap the other one.
Yes.
So
I'm a completionist.
I want all four doors off this car
before I eat the goodies inside.
You think he saw it and he was like, a four door? Fuck. Like,
oh, this is gonna take so long.
Why couldn't it have been two doors? So he's just like attacking the hell out of this car. And this is where like a lot of stuff happens. The car runs into another car, flips it over, and what happened to those people in that car? Fuck, who knows? Who cares?
Again, it's like there's all these extra like character involvements, and it's like, why?
And this is where the movie really starts to show us how strong and weak Slithus is at the same time.
Yes.
He gets run over by a car, mm-hmm. shot by a shotgun point blank multiple times. This is after he's already been shot before, too. Stabbed repeatedly, smacked repeatedly, which he doesn't even seem to notice.
With, like, mm-hmm. a whole chain.
Just over and over and over again. And then he goes down with an anchor. And I don't mean they attach an anchor to him and kick him over the side. What I mean is they stab him in the heart.
With an anchor, like...
With the human heart, where the human heart should be, with an anchor.
Yeah. Like, stab, like, with the big spade end.
Yeah.
But, like, it's also, anchor. Like, a fantastic scene, because he, like, the boat captain guy gets up with the anchor, and he jumps off, and, like, he stabs the monster, and the whole, like, it goes negative.
Yeah. Oh my god. That was so crazy.
It's the most jarring shit. Yeah.
And then
it, like,
dead.
Slowly swims back into normal focus.
I kind of love it. It's like, you know, like, Hills Have Eyes kind of thing or something.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah.
I it's do something, like it. At least.
So they... That's how you know, at this point, it's allegedly dead. And, like you said, it kind of doesn't make sense that this is what killed it when he literally stabbed a bigger knife into its back.
He also was shot point blank, like, yeah. five times
and
with a shotgun.
It's living mud, which is what I've gathered.
Well, he creates an exoskeleton, so it's more like... What I got from it is it's more like a quick evolution. So it's like if you took the evolution of, like, bacteria over the course of, like, millions, billions of years, you get a condensed version, which is what this thing is doing. So it's evolving very fast. Because it builds itself, I knew it when we were watching the movie, but I now forget what they are called. It's not quite a trilobite, but it's similar. He has, like, that kind of, like, armor on the front of his body.
Oh, gotcha.
Anyway, the whole point here, anyway, is that he's armored. So, like, you can see, like, these slow versions of him, like, evolving, because he's also growing, like, coral out the side of his face. So it's like this weird combination of bacteria that's all doing different things. He's probably a siphonophore, if nothing else. That is a creature that is made up of multiple creatures who in and of themselves cannot actually do all of the things needed to survive. So they combine to make a longer creature, and they all do different things. Like, some get rid of waste, some gather food, some eat the food, some digest it. That's a siphonophore.
There's a line early on where it's like it's absorbing life from the surrounding soil and like reincorporating it.
Yeah, they're really, really cool. If you've never seen the movie Life, which I highly suggest if you haven't seen it, the monster's name is Calvin, and he is a siphonophore. And it is a wonderful film. It's not, like, the best film ever made, but it's a fun film to watch. It's with Ryan Reynolds. Really fun.
That's the only reason why he likes it.
Highly recommend it. Actually, I thought that was going to be the only reason why I like it, but I like Calvin more than I like Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, shit!
Right? I know. Shots fired. Anyway, the whole point here is that I think that's kind of, like, what they're going for, is that this thing's fast evolving. But yeah.
Yeah. Then he gets killed by it. So they kill it, allegedly. And they start, like, talking about whether or not they should keep it. And the captain guy is all like, no, just put it back where it came from. Like, send it back out to the sea.
Which is a complete 180 of what he's been doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how are you going to explain all of the people that are dead? How are you going to tell the cops, hey, I was right, here's the thing? How are you going to close the case at all? If you're just like, yeah, we did find the monster, we dumped it back in the ocean. So. And so he literally kicks it over the edge of the boat.
Yep.
And that's that.
That's the end of the movie.
He lets the anchor run out with it and just gone.
Yeah.
But that's not quite the end. Because they're sitting there, they're like, all right, it's over, whatever. You know, what the hell? And they get up to leave and the monster comes back and grabs his ankle and it does like... one of those great 70s horror things where it zooms in on his face looking all scared and then it freeze frames and ends.
And for some reason my brain always just does the Law and Order thing where it's like doom, 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 doom. And like you're expecting a sequel, but unfortunately the director didn't go on.
Venice Beach, monster-based offenses are considered especially heinous.
These are their stories. Anyway... That's the end.
And I love it. I actually love the end.
There was supposed to be a sequel where he goes and he like kind of raids the whole town kind of thing. The director never was able to get the funding. I think the director is still alive, however. So there is a possibility hopefully one day he will go and do that. So anyway, we usually do the also known as, there were only two places where I thought this was interesting. Most places it's just called Slithis, or there was like one or two where it's just called Monster.
Yeah.
But this one is called, in Brazil, Slithis, the Beast of the Apocalypse, which that implies so much more, but it also makes me think of the Siphonophore idea, similar to Life, where it's this idea that if a creature like this can just grab other creatures that also need help, you can eventually build this huge creature.
I think that's the idea. Like, the second one should be like a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, like this should be something where he becomes unstoppable. And I think that's kind of what that implies. I don't think that's what they intended to imply, but that's what I'm going to take it as. West Germany, it is known as Nuclear Monster, which is straight to the point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Nuclear Monster.
Right on the nose.
That's all it is.
Always very efficient, those Germans.
Yep. Anyway, let's talk about the script. There's a lot of background.
Yeah, I mean, I do love it. I love how much, like, we know about every character. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
That, like, even there's a point where, like, the journalist teacher, he breaks into the crime scene to like be a journalist or whatever, and the cop comes in and catches him, and he's like, okay, I have identification, and he starts handing him things. He's like, here's my school ID, here's my press badge, here's my like my driver's license, the new address is on the back. And I'm like, why don't we care if you just recently moved and you had to go to the DMV and get the new address on the back? Like,
yep.
Why is that information the audience needed to know?
And the cop like has a cold.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a weird touchdown.
Why?
I like it.
It's just so funny how specific they get with the characters.
Yeah.
And, like, we know everything about that couple on the boat.
Yeah.
We know both of their whole life stories.
Yeah.
Or, like, the husband and his, like, weird quirk with having to get dressed every time he gets up, and how the wife hates it.
But, like, I appreciate that aspect because, like, I feel like, here's a good example. I feel like I know more about the couple in the beginning that get killed mercilessly, and they're only in it for like 10 minutes. And I know more about them than I do about the wife in 2012. And I think that's a weird distinction when you look at that. Like, this movie takes the time. Like, I know more about Disco Stew and the 18-year-old than I do about like a lot of characters in movies that we watch. Like, I don't really even know who the chicken jumper is still to this day. I don't know why she's there or what she means to anything. And yet I know everything about this couple that was about to have sex on a boat that has a TV somewhere.
Yeah, she's from North Dakota, just graduated.
That guy has
18.
That guy has a friend who's a neighbor who sometimes uses his TV on his boat.
Yes.
I know so much about them. She comes from a town of 600 people. Why do I know this?
It makes it so much more impactful when they get got.
It actually doesn't, funny enough. But that is the funny thing, but is, like, at least they're trying.
Also, it doesn't feel like, at the same time, it doesn't necessarily feel like too much information either.
No.
Like, it's almost funny. But it's not like it's tedious, like, sitting there listening to them tell these stories and stuff. It's like, they've woven it in there, but then, like, after they say it, you're like, why do we care?
Yes.
There's a movie that it reminds me of that actually does it very well that came out, this came out in 78, so 11 years later, and it is Batman 89. So Batman 89 actually does the same thing, though, where if you watch the movie and you actually pay attention, what they do is they quickly introduce a lot of characters to you, give a lot of background in one go, and then they just expect you to remember that throughout the rest of the film. That happens a lot in that movie. They do it with Vicki Vale. They do it with the reporter that is lusting after Vicki Vale. They do it with even Bruce, honestly. They do it very fast with Bruce. They kind of just give us his backstory, who he is, in the one meeting, and then we kind of just have to know. They do it with everyone. They do it with everyone. And it's similar to this, just that's done better. So you don't notice it. In this, you notice it because it's not done as well as it could have been.
It's just so funny.
You put in one line.
Oh.
And I put in the second version.
Yeah, okay. So so there's a bit where these two... I just wrote vagrants. I wasn't entirely certain how to refer to them. But they're like just drunk and hanging out and just spouting nonsense. And like we were saying in this movie,
we know everything about them.
You just get the whole story. And so this guy says, like, Australia, that was shit. That didn't mean nothing after Nam.
To himself.
Like, yes. Yeah, because the other guy's passed out already.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sorry. Did you say you fought in Australia after Vietnam? Because I don't recall anything happening in Australia that would necessitate that.
Wasn't there the ostrich war?
The what now?
But that was just, that wasn't like a...
oh no, emu war. Thing. Emu war. I don't remember when that happened. But no, maybe he went there and helped. 1932, so that would have been way before. But yeah, Australia fought a war against a bunch of emus and they lost. they lost.
You know, so. It seems like they are constantly losing the upper hand to their wildlife.
They fought from November 2nd to December 10th, and they lost against a bunch of birds.
We have to surrender. The flightless birds have demands.
You lost against flightless birds. Anyway, tangent.
So what did he say? So what more did he say?
And then he goes on, and then he just continues as, all the horrors were the same. Why shouldn't they be? They was just horrors. It's the weirdest moment.
So now we know
moment.
That he's a veteran.
Yeah.
He's ex-military. He's been to Vietnam. He seems to put Vietnam on a higher level of respect from whatever else the fuck he's done.
Yep.
And he fucked a lot of whores, but he feels bad for them a little bit.
And I think he also just kind of is loathing himself as well. And also we know these two are good friends, but they're kind of more like drinking good friends. Like they drink together, they hang out. And we know that one has crapped his pants before, because that is also a line. You shit yourself, didn't you? And he's like, no, I just farted. And he's like, no, you did. You shit yourself. And then he
again.
Falls.
Again. Yeah. And then he falls asleep.
Yeah. And this is, by the way, where there's a plant and then payoff later. That's always fun. When he falls, he's like, yeah, I'm high. I'm higher than a house. I'm higher than the price of wine. And then later, the journalist has to bribe a bunch of similar guys with wine, but they're like, the price has gone up.
Yeah.
It's a bridge. Look at that.
That's pretty good.
And it's actually kind of beautiful.
Every character that comes through this, we know everything about.
Yep.
Yes.
But I think it's wonderful.
Anyway, yeah. Beat by beat, this is also just kind of Jaws. It just honestly is.
Without the absurdly long ending.
They didn't have the budget.
The boat scene is nice and concise.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's Jaws without the budget. It's literally all it is.
The end.
Yeah.
It's like 10 minutes. It's perfect.
To be honest, if this had the same budget, this almost could have probably, like, if they had been able to hire, like, more professional actors, people who had been doing this for a long time, this could have had an opportunity to be a better film in a way. Because there are some things that are done really well.
Moving into acting, I actually didn't think a lot of these actors were necessarily, like, as cringe as most things that we usually watch on here. You know, I thought some of them were not too bad. Like, the main journalist guy, this is, like, one of the only things he's ever done.
Oh, and he's fine.
And he was perfectly fine. I mean, some of them are, like, a little dorky and, like, kind of quirky looking. Like, Dr. Dirt over here, he like, really hams up his character, but, like...
Oh, yeah.
But he's not cringeworthy. He's not, like, the worst thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
The only thing that's cringeworthy is the lieutenant.
No!
Yes.
I love the lieutenant.
That was absurd.
It was absurd. I agree with you.
He's just Penguin from Batman 66. That's what I saw.
This guy is in a different fucking movie.
Oh, yeah. He is. And
it's terrible.
But he's consistently terrible. He is consistent.
So what?
That's all that matters. Just believe
in
yourself.
It's so over the top. I loved it. He's just sort of like, but this is 1972.
You broke in. You should have been arrested. Doesn't do anything.
Exactly.
Doesn't do anything.
He's just sort of like, oh, right. Because he's like, yeah, so I actually know what's going on. I raised the water lock last night. And that's why the monster thing happened the way it did. And he's like, you should have been arrested.
Yeah.
What? By who? How about you, right now?
Oh my god.
And I was thinking, like, oh my god, this guy, I feel like he's done voices. I feel like I've seen him as an alien on Star Trek or something.
I tried
nope,
to find him, but
only
no.
this.
Yeah, he hasn't
he
done
just
anything.
He looks like other people.
The only thing I can think of is maybe he just doesn't have an IMDb. That's the only thing I can think of. So maybe he's just underrepresented.
Well, his agent is doing a disservice to him, if that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so sound / music. There's a lot of oboe. How they put that in there.
Yeah, it's all oboe. It's all
It's a little oboe at the top.
The
could also be a bass clarinet. It's hard to say. I'm going to ignore what he said.
Oboe the top. In case you missed it.
I said it's a little oboe the top.
I heard you.
And also a lot of very gross slurping Foley. Like whenever the monster feeds. I love the foley in this.
It's hilariously bad in some scenes.
Oh yeah.
It's very like, it's not like layered into the sounds.
No, it's
well,
like right there.
It's just on top.
There is one thing that I love, which is when the woman is eaten in one of the scenes and she screams, and then we have the siren and it fades into the siren. Not very well. It could have been better, but they did it, and I appreciate the effort. Yeah. I appreciate the effort well, in like, the '70s. So
the scenes with the homeless guys or the vagrants or whatever they are the funniest, I think, with Foley, because the like the them shuffling the dirt is overdone, and them opening the bottles.
Yes.
Like,
oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, speaking of music, so I'm going to combine this with cinematography real quick. One of my favorite things that we didn't bring up in this movie, just because it's more of just like a quick sequence, I think it's one of the most charming things I have seen in a slasher film. It's one of the most charming things I've seen in a film, and it's very Chaplin-esque, is when he goes to get his secret beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's wine.
He's walking in this silhouetted way where I think this is intentional. I'm hoping it is. I'm just going to say that it is. He's blurry, like, and the foreground's blurry, but the background isn't. And I think it's because he's drunk. So, but he's walking and you just have this like upbeat flute music playing. Like this is fucking Peter Pan. And he's just walking to go get his beer. It is the most like charming scene. You don't remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
I remember the soft focus, but I don't remember the music at all.
The part where he is going, he's like crossing the canal, you know, and it's like he's shadowed out, and it's a wide shot, and he's like walking across.
But
it's like,
okay, dun, dun, yeah. Dun, dun,
dun. It's not a flute; it's still.
It's so charming and weird, and it almost doesn't fit, but it works.
Yeah, it does. I feel like it almost set like this is like a drunk soundtrack. Like there's like the. Bum, bottom, bottom.
Well, yeah, and then it's like blurred out in the foreground. It's not as blurred out in the background, but yeah. I think they did it because he's drunk. I'm going to go ahead and just give them the credit and say that that's what they did it for. Yeah. But I just really love the scene, but I love that that's where the music worked really well. And it was a different movie. That was a different movie, is really what it was. But I liked it. I thought it was fun.
I guess we can finish cinematography too.
Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about
that. I love the monster Coke POV. Bottle. The little yes. eye.
Oh, I couldn't figure out what that was. Here's my theory for how they made that effect. Is they took a glass Coke bottle and pressed it against the lens, like bottom first,
yep.
and then just like ran water over the bottle. Because it's like, there's like this one clear part right in the center. Everything else around it is kind of distorted like glass. But yep. then there's just water drenching off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a weird decision to do it, and it doesn't fully work, but I mean, it's interesting.
It's only one eye.
Else. Yeah, it, well, it's, yeah, it's one focus, yeah, which is weird, but yeah. I don't know, it's kind of a strange thing, but yeah, it was kind of an interesting point from cinematography. Again, this guy actually has done quite a bit of stuff. It's not like he's done anything that's really noteworthy, but the cinematographer did do quite a few things in his time, yeah. so, yeah. Makeup and costuming...
yeah,
the monster costume is pretty
it's
nice.
It's the '70s.
Yeah, it's good for what it is. And there's a there are I feel like more often than not they shoot well enough so that it looks good. Like, because a lot of that kind of depends on lighting.
Yeah.
And I thought it looked great, but the guy in the suit, another person who only ever did this and nothing else, Wynn Condict, had to be sewn into the suit and couldn't take it off. All day long.
Yep.
And that is probably why he never did anything again. He's like, I'm not doing this. I hate this.
Yeah, that is something that happens a lot, especially in these older or like B-roll type of things. Like they are very, it's very heavy on the fact that like the monsters kind of have to suffer a bit.
Oh yeah.
Because it's hard to like like take that apart, re-sew them back up. It takes forever. But some of these were 15-hour days.
Oh, I know.
So like.
Can you imagine like baking under the heat on a Venetian beach, like just in a rubber suit?
I can't.
Oof.
No, I can't.
I can't imagine it either.
No.
There's a Star Trek calendar in this movie.
There is indeed.
It's so weirdly placed. It's just like tacked to a staircase.
Yeah.
And it's so in frame that it makes me think it was deliberate, but I don't know
it
why.
It had to have been deliberate, but I don't.
Why do that?
They like Star Trek?
The last thing I wanted to say about the costume is that our hero, Wayne, the journalist, is often wearing a denim shirt and a denim pants. Like just
70s.
But denim pants suit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care for it. I don't. I just want to put out a PSA.
Where's the part where they say bell bottoms?
It's a lot of instrumental.
Bell bottoms. Bell bottoms. Bell bottoms.
Bell bottoms.
Anyway, there's a lot of bell bottoms. Everyone.
Yes.
Literally everyone in this movie wears bell bottoms.
Uh-huh.
It's the 70s. Yeah. Anyway, we can talk about the editing. There's not really much to talk about, honestly, though. They do a few wipes, like Star Wars wipes.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's a circle wipe, and then there's a lot of wipes in between. With a scene we were already talking about where they're just sort of, like, walking from place to place while making their plan.
It's like it should be a jump cut, but it's not.
Yeah. And again, it's the 70s. This would have been just like a couple of years after Star Wars.
Yeah, when was Star Wars 76? Was Star Wars 76?
Oh, really? Okay, this was 78. Oh, yeah, no, so a couple of years after.
I don't know if Star Wars was 76. Let's... Star Wars 77!
Okay.
Yeah, so that's close. So Star Wars came out a year before. And also, I think those swipes were actually stolen from Kurosawa, weren't they? Pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Pretty sure Kurosawa did it, which is why George Lucas copied. I mean...
Forbidden Temple.
Honored
Forbidden
him.
Palace?
There's that. There's also the slow motion thing, which we talked about, and it still confuses me. I don't really get why they did it. There's not really much of a reason. The movie doesn't really use slow motion a lot.
The first scene with the children is all slow motion, the whole thing.
Yep. Yeah, but then there's also the scene on the boat where she's getting murdered slowly, that is also in slow motion. But there's not much that's in slow motion in this. It just really... So it's weird. It's a weird decision. I don't know if they just were trying to extend the runtime, like with the turtle scene, or what.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Anyway, what part would you guys play?
I want to be the police lieutenant.
None of us talked about that scene, but yet...
It's so good. He's like, I'll have you speak to one of my police scientists.
I think it's one of those things you just have to see to really understand. I don't think we can describe it well enough.
Watch that scene.
He looks like the villain from Star Crash.
He does look like the villain from Star Crash.
You know, like wearing a police uniform.
I wrote that he had Igor from Young Frankenstein energy.
Cam, you play the same thing?
I mean, you already said lieutenant, so I was like, I don't want to do that. I might just be the main dude. He doesn't shut the fuck up, though. He just talks the whole movie.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the role for me.
I want to be Dr. Dirt. I just love how, like, quirky and weird that guy is. He's, like, my favorite character.
Yeah?
Like, that whole scene where he's, like, describing to them in their house, like, what Slithus is. And he's like, but wait, there's more.
Yes.
I love when he awkwardly brings out the key that he has. And he, like, has not told this dude on the whole ride over. And then he's like, and he just stands there.
I've got a key. He's like, I just got this from a friend.
He is wonderful.
And they go to that, like, to the canal lock. And he, like, makes him go in. He's like, all right, I'm going to go lock the canal. I don't know, he's fairly funny.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I think everyone recommends this.
Oh, absolutely.
It was so good.
So good. Go watch it.
And we just randomly found this on Tubi.
Like, yes. Yeah. Go watch it on Tubi. Minor trigger warning for some racist nonsense
and
some sexual
violence. If
you've
seen a 70s B film, you expect that.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you ever watch one, don't be surprised if that pops up.
Yep.
It's just one of those things. It's like, it goes back to the ninja movie that we watched. The one where the guy shoots himself in the foot.
Oh!
Kill Squad!
Kill Squad!
Yes. Yeah!
It goes back to that, where you just kind of have to expect it, unfortunately.
Yep.
It is there.
That movie was worse than this one.
Oh, yeah.
Kill Squad is pretty gnarly,
like,
but a guy falls over a barrel and shoots himself in
the foot.
And it's one of the best scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Anyway, I think we all recommend this. This is an amazing film. It's just really, really fun. It's really stupid. And it's just a good monster movie. In a slew of monster movies that came out in the 70s and 60s, this is one of the best ones.
Yeah. It's somehow functions both as a bad movie and just a genuinely good movie.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
If the creator is still alive, which I don't know if Steven Traxler is still alive, it doesn't say he's dead on IMDb. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that he is, hopefully. If he is, he should make another one.
Yeah.
I just think we should get a sequel. I think it would be great.
I agree.
I think we deserve one. Or a remake. And if you do a remake, then for the love of God, the police lieutenant should be Nick Cage. And the main guy should be Andy Samberg.
Yes! Oh my God. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, what is it? Donald Glover should play the boat captain.
Oh.
That'd be so much fun.
Yeah, I want Donald Glover in all of the movies, but yes,
yeah.
I agree with
and
that.
And then obviously the lovely Doug Jones Aslithis.
Aslithis.
Obviously.
Yes. Obviously.
So,
who else are you going to get to be a fish?
Directed by Guillermo del Toro. Actually, has he seen this
the
movie?
The guy who played Jason.
I do love Kane Hodder. No, not Kane Hodder.
Oh, no, wait. No, he did. Kane Hodder did what?
Kane Hodder was Jason? Him, but that's not who she's talking about.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about the guy who played Swamp Thing, Derek Mears.
Derek Mears.
Derek Mears is wonderful. He is also wonderful.
But either person who...
Derek Mears gotcha. Is just if Doug Jones was ripped. That's that's what Derek Mears is. Look, he's just a bigger Doug Jones.
Ripped. Yeah, he does look like a bigger Doug.
I feel like with Spawn of Slithus, I guess, technically, he'd be better for that.
Yeah.
Doug Jones is a fantastic monster player, but like...
We need a beefy monster.
He's a little like creepy lanky type.
Yeah.
Go watch the movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch the movie. I can't say that enough. It's fun as hell. Everyone would like it. It's free on Tubi. I think you can find
free.
I found it on YouTube as well. So let us know if you watch it. Let us know if you like it. Let us know if you have recommendations for anything. We do get recommendations every now and then, and we have done them before. So let us know also if you're cool with the new format where we don't describe the movie as much, because I think we kind of describe it enough in our favorite scenes. So we're probably going to stick with that for a while. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can also find us on Tinder. Just kidding. We're not there. But if you
can find us on Grubhub.
You can find some Grubhub for us. I guess I won't give you my address, but I'll give you a nearby place. Anyway.
We'll have a mutual meetup for food.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Remember that movies are amazing and they're a lot of fun and you should watch them. And books are not just the only way to take in a story, and also not just music. And also sometimes I trail off and I just kind of edit it that way and I just kind of let the story slowly. But then like a swipe, I bring it right back in and then the movie.
Have a 50-foot podcast Friday day. Have fun. Bye.
You fetishists.